name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. So now that the end of the Coptic year is right around the corner, and the start of the new Coptic year, is around the corner, the church readings during the end of the year are all focused on one thing, which is the end of the world. Okay, and that's why you heard today about a very kind of a scary gospel that talked about earthquakes and wars and all kinds of bad stuff, and the sun and the moon, and woe to those who are pregnant, all kinds of stuff like that. And in fact, if you were paying attention, all the readings kind of spoke about hardships and tribulations, especially at the end. And I know you guys paid attention to all the readings, at least the Synaxarium. I'm sure you all paid attention to the Synaxarium, right? Everyone at least remembers the Synaxarium, right? Okay, good. Very good. We can repeat it again if you forgot it. So all the readings today were focused on hardships and tribulations and wars and scary stuff and bad stuff. And then there was a very strange verse that our Lord Jesus Christ said right in the middle of the gospel that confused me a little bit. When he's talking about all this bad stuff, he talks about when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled, for such things must happen, but the end is not yet. How can anyone read all these words that the Lord just said about these horrible days, like days that he said the world has never seen tribulation like this and will never ever see it again? And he says, don't worry though, don't be troubled. How can the Lord say all these bad things are going to happen, do not be troubled? I started to think to myself, is there a way that I can stare at the end times right in the face, I could stare at them and not be troubled? Is that possible? Is there a way I could stare, like, let's give you another, give you an easier example, okay? Let's say a monster, a boogeyman, a big bad wolf, Loch Ness monster, whatever it is you believe in. Is there a way that I could stand face to face with the boogeyman himself and not be scared? I thought of one way. How? Is there a way I could stand up to a bully right in front of my face, the scary guy in school, and not be scared? I thought of one way. How? This guy who incites fear in everyone, but is there a way I can stand in front of him and not be scared? Yeah. You know how? I stand with someone else next to me who's bigger. If I'm standing in front of the bully, I'm scared. If I'm standing in front of the bully with Hulk Hogan next to me on my side, not scared. If I'm standing in front of the boogeyman, scared. But if I'm standing with mommy and daddy, not scared. If I'm standing in front of the end times and I'm looking at all this stuff that's going to happen and I'm standing by myself, yeah, you're going to have a heart attack. But when I stand with the Lord Jesus and I stand with him, and in fact, even better, I want to see that, but I want to see more. I want to focus on him. I want to put him in front. And I want to stand right behind him. And I want him to stand behind me and in front of me and on top of me and left and right of me, because he's everywhere. And I want to stand right inside him and right next to him and be really, really, really close to him. Then maybe I can stare at these things and be comforted. A friend of mine recently went in for a surgery. And this person was really scared. She was all worried and freaking out and anxious and all this kind of stuff, and pray for me and oil and all kinds of stuff. And she was really, really, really. And then she had like an appointment with the doctor the day before. Okay, so she met the surgeon who was going to do the doctor. She came back from that, no problem. What happened to you? What happened to you? You were freaking out, pulling out your hair, pulling out everyone else's hair. What happened to you? Why you're calm now? When she met the doctor, doctor relieved her, gave her assurance, gave her peace. Now she knows the doctor. She's fine. If you're not standing next to the Lord Jesus, facing the end times, don't know how you do it. If you're going into surgery and you don't know who your doctor is, don't know how you do it. I don't want to say these days life is tough, because I think that's an understatement. Life is tough. And life every day is full of bad stuff. And everything that the Bible promised here in these verses, we see all around us. We see death all around us. We see sickness all around us. Every day we see tragedy. We see disaster. In fact, do a little trivia for you. Today, August 29th, 2010, is the 5-year commemoration of what? Katrina. Hurricane Katrina. Very good. Go ask the people of New Orleans if they still remember. And if they see that this gospel is still coming true or not coming true, as they're still digging out in a lot of places from all that. The tragedies are all around. The disasters are all around. And I remember something that I said on the Sunday after Hurricane Katrina. I remember something I said in the sermon Sunday after Hurricane Katrina, because it was in this time. So it was like at this time we were reading these gospels about the end and the destructions and the wars, and then we had that disaster happen. And I said, I don't know how anyone could face the catastrophe like that, or any catastrophe, without Jesus. I don't know how anyone could face it without him. Like, we, with him, struggle. I don't know how anyone can face disaster. I don't know how anyone can face catastrophes. I don't know how anyone can face that scary word, with just six letters, but it's scary, called cancer. I don't know how anyone can face those things without him next to them. I don't know how. Like, we have him, and we struggle. I don't know how anyone can do it. But we with him, close to him, cling to him, we can do it. And in fact, not only we can do it, we can find comfort in these words. Did you know that? That in the early church, in the first century church, they used to speak about the end. Like, they used to believe, they had the right belief. Even though they were wrong, they were right. Their belief was that Jesus was going to come back in their lifetime. The second coming was going to come in their lifetime. Because remember where the angel, remember where Christ ascends? And the angel said, the same way he left, he's coming back to you. So they took it literally. They did the right thing. They said, oh, he could come back next week. He could come back the day after. So they were always living with that in mind. And they were every day wake up and say, well, maybe today's going to be the day. And that's why they would greet each other with the famous phrase, Maranatha, means Lord, come quickly. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Because they really thought it was going to happen. And even though they were wrong, they were right. Because they found comfort in thinking about the end. Why? How can anyone find comfort in thinking about these end times? Isn't it better just to, like, when it happens, but let me just, I don't want to think about it. How can I find comfort? And watch this, encouragement. How can I find encouragement in these words about the end times? Well, it's simple. Look at it this way. If you're running a race, and the Bible often speaks about our life on this earth is like a race. If you're running a race, and it's a hard race, and it's a difficult race, and you want to quit, and you want to just collapse to the ground, remember when we were in high school and they made us run the mile? Okay, remember that? And there was no benefit to it. We felt like we just had to do it, and we just felt like, I just want to collapse, pretend to have an injury, like, you know, just fake asthma or anything like that, so I don't have to finish this mile. And we just wanted to collapse. And then all of a sudden, you're on the last lap, and you see the finish line right there. What would that do to you? What would that do to you? What's the difference? Is there a difference in your mentality running the first lap versus the fourth lap? Fourth being the final one. Is there a difference? You see the end right there. You want to just die and fall to the ground and just kick and scream. Then all of a sudden you see, hey, wait a minute, there's the finish line. What does that do to you? That encourages you. Yeah, you sprint. You say, even if I want to kill myself, I just want to run as fast as I can so I can just collapse on the other side of the finish line and get my oxygen and get my Gatorade and just finish myself. Well, in the same way, we should be looking towards the end times, because we know that the end for us, yes, it will be hard. And yes, we may need to make a strong sprint between here and there. But as long as we see it's there, there's encouragement, because what's on the other side of there? Rest. What's on the other side of there? No sickness. No sadness. No tears. On the other side of there is everything good in this universe is on the other side of there. Now, some people would say, isn't that, like, dangerous that we're that confident that I'm going to win the race? Like, heaven. And I say heaven, and shouldn't we say, no, I don't know if I'm going to be there, and I'm bad, and I'm the worst person in the world, and I don't deserve, and all this kind of stuff. Should we talk about heaven that way and say, no, don't think about heaven, and I'm not good, and all this kind of stuff? Should we look at the kingdom of heaven that way and have that kind of attitude towards the kingdom of heaven? First of all, okay, 2 points on that one. First of all, number one, if the kingdom of heaven is not something that you think about on a day-to-day basis, you're doing something wrong. Because the kingdom of heaven needs to be at the forefront of everything that we do. So if you really, from your heart of hearts, believe that there's something in my life which means that I'm not ready, then look here, man. You don't walk around saying I'm not ready. You get ready. You don't walk around saying I'm bad. You don't walk around saying I'm not worthy. You get yourself ready right away. You don't wait. If you think, the Bible said that the end is going to come like a thief in the night. Like a thief in the night. There was one time where nothing had happened, but I thought someone broke into my house. Okay, a couple months back, I thought someone broke into my house because there was something. Anyway, it turned out to be nothing. Okay, but I thought someone broke into my house. I woke up in the morning, and I remember it was one of the busiest days. It was a Saturday, and Saturdays are really, really busy for me preparing for Sundays and all that kind of stuff. And I remember it like it was yesterday. And I remember I thought someone broke into my house, and I had 10,000 things to do. All of a sudden, all 10,000 of those things became less and less important to me, because I'm not going to finish this day thinking that someone broke into my house and someone can break into my house the next day. Until I solve this problem, and until I make sure that my house is secure, my wife is secure, my kids are secure, everything else becomes less important. So if you're sitting or walking around saying, no, don't talk about heaven, I don't know if I'm ready, and I got, hey, get ready. You know, we don't postpone that till tomorrow. If someone says that your heart is bleeding, you don't wait for that till tomorrow. You solve that issue today. Now, for the rest of the people, okay, who kind of say that as just like we think it's the right thing to say that, like, you know, I shouldn't think about heaven. Listen to this. Thinking about heaven will change how you live on earth. Thinking about heaven and thinking about your place specifically in heaven, my room in heaven that belongs to me, will change how you live on earth. How? I'll give you an example. Let's say I was just with a couple, an engaged couple, okay, and they're going to get married soon. And I was asking about the honeymoon and stuff like that, and the boy is making it a surprise for the girl, okay? So he's making it a surprise to her. But he told me what the surprise is, okay? So I was like, I won't say it because, you know, whatever, but I'm saying, given the nature of the destination, like, you at least got to give some clues, because that's going to affect how she packs. Like, if I told you we're going to take a trip, and we're either going to go to Miami or to Vancouver or Toronto or Montreal, one of those beautiful places up north, or Ottawa. If I told you we're going to go to one of those places, would that affect how you pack? Yeah, absolutely. So if you think you're going to end up in Ottawa, you're going to pack a certain way. And if you think you're going to end up in Miami, you're going to pack a certain way. And if you think that you're going to end up here, you'd never pack that stuff. And if you think you're going to end up there, you never pack that stuff. Well, I'm saying, when I think about the end, where's my destination? Where am I going to end up? Because if I think I'm going to end up there, I'm going to pack a certain type of clothes, a certain type of behavior, a certain type of thoughts, a certain type of words, a certain type of activities on Friday night and activities on Saturday night and activities on Sunday morning. I'm going to pack a certain type with me. And if I think I'm going to end up there anyway, then I might as well bring these other activities with me. See what I'm saying? You don't know where you're going to end up is going to change how you live here today. You naturally end up where your eyes are focused. If you focus on something long enough, you will naturally be drawn towards it like a magnet. And here we are on this earth, man, we need to be looking up and looking at the kingdom. And every time we hear about the end and we hear all this stuff and it talks about there's going to be wars, that gives me comfort. You know why? Because then I'm one step closer. And then it talks about there's going to be tribulations. And you know what? That gives me comfort. Why? Because I'm one step closer. Because if everything that the Bible said about the end times comes true, then you know what else is going to come true? All the promises about the kingdom of heaven are going to come true. If everything that he said is going to happen here, all the bad stuff is going to happen, and I see it happening, then you know what? All the good stuff is also going to happen soon too. So that gives me comfort. And with every one of these things that happens, I see myself closer. Again, I'm traveling. Let's say I'm in Africa. I go every year to Africa for a mission trip, okay, in the summer. And I'm there for like 2 or 3 weeks. And I talk to my wife on the phone. And she says, oh, I can't wait for you to come home. I say, no, I don't want to think about home. I don't know if I'm worthy to come home. Home is something that's only for like really good people. I probably end up here and I'm, what? That doesn't work. Yes, sweetheart, I can't wait to come home too. Even if I don't mean it, I have to say it. Okay? And even better is that I mean it. Okay? And I do mean it. And I can't wait. And every day that I'm over there, I'm happy, I'm serving, I'm making the best of it. But I can't wait to go home. I can't wait to see wife, can't wait to see kids. That's what gets you through this. You put up with this. If I didn't think that I had hope of being back there, it would change the way I am here. In fact, those who are with me on the mission trips in the past know that especially at the end of the mission trips, I start to become like a crazy person. Miss my wife, miss my kids, miss my wife, miss my kids. Don't want to talk to anyone, miss my wife, miss my kids. And I start to get antsy on the plane. You don't want to sit next to me on the plane on the way home because miss my wife, miss my kids. I don't think that's a bad thing. That's a good thing. And we need to be that same way with the kingdom of heaven. And every day that goes by and we see troubles, we say, I'm one step closer. We see hardships. Hey, I'm one step closer. We see tribulations. Hey, I'm one step closer. We keep our eyes looking at the prize. Good verse for you to leave with. It's one of the best verses in the Bible. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. I wish I'd gotten the verse before. The verse before it talks about running the race. Okay, talked about, therefore, it's after Hebrews, okay, Hebrews 11, okay, is where it talks about by faith, Abraham, by faith, Isaac, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. And then in chapter 12, verse 1, says, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. That's what it's saying. It's saying, since all those guys made it, hey, you run, you can make it too. Run the race that's set before you. And make sure when you're running the race, you look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You keep your eyes focused on the prize. Hey, if you're running in a race, don't look this way. Don't look that way. You look that way. Because what's going to happen if you look this way? You're going to end up naturally gravitating, pulling yourself to you look this way. So what we need to do is look this way. I was sitting with the school staff on last week, okay, as we're preparing for the school year. And I told them that what I wanted, I was talking about this verse and looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And I was saying, everyone, this is what I need everyone to do, because when there's troubles or when there's hard times or when there's difficulties or when there's conflicts, we need everyone to look up unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And I even told them that I want to see people looking up. And even I saw some people, I pass in the hallway and they do like this and I say, yep. And I said, I want to see people running into each other in the hallway because they're walking in the hallway looking up. That's what I want to see. And that's what we as Christians need to be doing. We need to all be looking up. Because when we're looking up, all of a sudden when I'm looking up, and then all of a sudden, this person, let it go, man. Focus here. And then this person, forgive, sorry. You know what I mean? I don't want to be one of those people who, wait this way. You understand this? Looking unto Jesus, the author, finisher of our faith. We're looking for that kingdom. He said to get to that kingdom, you're going to go through hard times here. So I step another hard time. I don't say, why, God? And why? I say, you know what? This is right. This is right on schedule. Okay, yeah, you said this is going to happen. Check mark. Okay, what's next? That check mark. What's next? That check mark. I know once all these check marks are done, and I don't know how many check marks are, but I know there's a lot of check marks on God's list. Once the check marks are done, I get to go to a great place. And I get to rest and have no tears and no sorrow and no nothing. The one who is going to be successful in this race is the one who's always looking at the end goal, not at the obstacles, but at the end goal. The one who's looking to score or win or sprint to get to that end line, not the one who's distracted by the stuff here. We need to be that same way. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Glory be to God forever. Amen.